The word of God given to us today is Acts 23:13-18. Acts 23:13-18. Allow me to read the word of God. At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of the year. In just 6 days, this year will disappear forever into the past. There is a saying that goes, a day feels long, but a month feels short. In our daily lives, a single day does feel long. If a day is long and there are 30 days in a month, it would seem a month should feel even longer. But at the end of each month, we often wonder at how quickly the month had passed. And on the last Sunday of every year, like today, this is what we end up saying. A day feels long, a month feels short, and a year feels very short. If this was the last day on earth for someone, that person would say this. A day feels long, a month feels short, a year feels very short, and a lifetime feels even shorter. A regular-sized brick is only about 5.7 centimeters thick. It's not that thick. But if you keep on laying the bricks one over another, the bricks can turn into a Tower of Babel. Nor are the stones used in a wall that wide. But line them one after another, and you get the Great Wall of China. If you continue to gather or amass something, the collective weight, height, or width is bound to grow. But time is an exception. It is an unchanging fact that a day consists of 24 hours. But when you amass the days, each 24 hours long, one after another, the total length of time becomes shorter. So this is why a day feels long, a month feels short, a year feels very short, and a lifetime feels even shorter. We know this is true because no one on the last day of his or her life looks back and says, "My life was as long as the Great Wall of China." Instead, almost everyone bemoans how their life passed by in a blink of an eye. In all cultures around the world, people bemoan how fleeting life is. You live one day after another, but instead of time growing longer, life becomes shorter and one day disappears forever into the past. Seen this way, how ephemeral and meaningless is life? What is the point in working hard and trying hard in life? What do you think? Is life really ephemeral and meaningless? It is. To those who only think of the time past as time that disappeared meaningless into the past, life is ephemeral and meaningless. In such a person's life, even the present and the future will one day evaporate into a meaningless past. There can be no present without the past, and no future without the present. The present is the result of the past. Therefore, for those who build their present on their past and take their present to build a new future, the past will come alive by taking on a new meaning through the present and in the future. The past, present, and future are not disconnected, but come together in everyday life so that all the time past come alive as valuable experiences, wisdom in life, and deep-rooted spirituality. For such a person, life is not short, ephemeral, or meaningless. His or her past will not disappear because it will take on a new meaning through the present and in the future. Today is the last Sunday of the year and the Christmas Sunday when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. As C.S. Lewis put it, Jesus' birth is the Son of God himself entering human history. With Jesus' birth, human history was divided into B.C. and A.D., before the birth of Christ and after the birth of Christ. The past before Jesus was reborn, took a new meaning with the incarnation of Jesus. The Old Testament before Jesus came took on a new meaning in the Jesus of the New Testament. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has begun his ministry on this earth, and he reveals his purpose of coming to earth by reading Isaiah chapter 61 at the synagogue in Nazareth where he grew up. Luke 4:18-19 goes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The reason Jesus came to earth was to proclaim good news to the poor in body and spirit. This wasn't just about disseminating knowledge or information about the good news. For Jesus, proclaiming the good news was about freeing those who were oppressed by sin and death. It was about giving sight to those who are short-sighted because they had their eyes fixed only on the visible things of the world. It was about opening their eyes so that they could see the eternity beyond what was physically visible and freeing humans trapped inside their selfish desires. In other words, Jesus was carrying out the year of the Jubilee as God commanded in Leviticus chapter 25 of the Old Testament. If a person lived all his or her life shackled by sin and evil, was short-sighted because he or she only focused on what was right in front of him or her. All the time in world, no matter how many new years come and go, will just evaporate into becoming a meaningless past, and life will be just ephemeral and meaningless. Jesus came to this earth to give freedom to these people. This was to give them a new present and a future to enjoy. If you continue to live in your own selfish desires, even if you want to get away from the past will be no different than the life of slavery that the people of Israel endured for 400 years under Egypt. However, if that person, by the grace of God, embarked on an exodus from all the tangible and intangible chains that bound him or her in the past, and headed towards the promised land, Canaan, beyond the wilderness, if that person did so, wouldn't time spent as a slave in Egypt take on a new meaning in the present and the future? Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago to proclaim this living good news to us. And it was Jesus, even from 2,000 years ago, who prepared the Word of God that is today's message for us on this Christmas Sunday and last Sunday of the year. In today's passage, Paul is in the process of arguing in his own defense at a tribunal held by Governor Festus at the request of King Agrippa. Paul's defense is to testify about the Lord. At the tribunal, Paul testified about how he had once denied Jesus and persecuted the church, and how he was called by the Lord. Paul, in his youth, was heading towards Damascus, located 213 kilometers from Jerusalem, to hunt down the Christians there. On the road, Jesus came upon Paul in the form of a light brighter than the midday sun. The light made Paul and his companions fall to the ground. Jesus called out to Paul specifically among the others. He called him by his name at the time, Saul. Verse 14 goes, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" We talked about the significance of Jesus' words to Paul in last Sunday's message. Today, let's talk about the fact that Jesus spoke to Paul in the Hebrew language. Paul was not Roman or Indian or any other ethnicity. He held a Roman citizenship, but he was undoubtedly a Jew. Jesus also came to earth as a Jew. So it is not surprising that Jesus, who was born a Jew, spoke to Paul, also a Jew, in the Hebrew language, which was the language spoken by the Jews. And yet, today's passage specifies that Jesus spoke to Paul in the Hebrew language. It is specified as if this fact, which seems quite ordinary, is something out of the ordinary. So what is the reason behind this? It is to emphasize that Jesus, Son of God, accommodated himself to the specific situation of Paul, even when Paul was someone persecuting the Lord. Before Jesus, humans had mistakenly thought they needed to embark on an endless pilgrimage to meet God. If God commanded humans to come up to his level to seek him and receive salvation, who among our measly humans would actually be able to reach God's level and be saved? Because that is something impossible, Jesus, who is the Son of God, humbled himself to human level and personally entered human history. This is why Jesus was born in a manger in a stable for animals. A manger is the container used to feed livestock. Not even the poorest person on earth would willingly choose a manger for a crib for his or her newborn child. And yet Jesus was Son of God. Not even the highest person on earth, not even the Roman emperor wielding absolute power can compare to Son of God. As such, Jesus came to earth more humbled than the poorest and lowliest person on earth. And since he was higher than the highest person on earth, this meant that he could accommodate anyone on earth. He could completely accommodate himself to the level of poor people, rich people, lowly people, mighty people, uneducated people, educated people, people shackled by sin and evil, short-sighted people who cannot see beyond what's right in front of their eyes, and people trapped in their own selfish desires. That is why Jesus accommodated himself to Paul's situation and spoke in the Hebrew language to Paul. If Paul had been Korean, Jesus would have spoken in the Korean language to Paul. Jesus isn't accommodating himself to everyone on earth so that he can remain humbled to the lowly human level. He has humbled himself to our level first, so that he can hold us and lift us up as new beings who accompany him by holding out his hand, which is not shortened. This is what Jesus commanded Paul in the Hebrew language. Verses 16 to 18. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus told Paul, who had fallen on the ground, to rise up and stand upon his feet. He didn't tell Paul to rise so that he can go back to his old life of persecuting the church. He was commanding Paul to leave his old and sinful life and start a new life as a witness for Jesus, who saves people trapped in sin, selfish desire, darkness, and death. Paul had been a hardcore opponent of Jesus. How could he start to live a new life just like that? Does this become possible if Jesus gives the command? Jesus was the one who lifted Paul from his old and misguided life of sin and death. Jesus is telling Paul to live such a life because he, Jesus, will continue to hold and guide Paul with his hand, which is not shortened, so that Paul can live as his witness. What would have happened if Jesus hadn't come to Paul first, accommodating himself to Paul's situation and lifting Paul from where he had fallen? Paul was a Jewish leader with good credentials and a zealous sense of duty. He would have continued to deny Jesus and persecute the church all his life. He could have become the high priest for the Jews thanks to his zeal. He could have enjoyed great wealth and prestige using God's name as a pretext like other high priests. But that would have been a life shackled by sin and short-sightedness, a path trapped in selfish desires, and ultimately a path of despair and helplessness leading to the punishment of death. Jesus came to young Paul on that road to Damascus first and accommodated himself to Paul's situation. He held Paul and lifted him up as his witness and accompanied him so that he could live his life as a witness. Thus, Paul's past, which could have turned meaningless and disappeared, came to take on a new meaning through Jesus in his present and future. Paul had denied Jesus more vociferously than anyone in his past, and this made him live more fervently than anyone for Jesus, his Savior, and be willing to lay down his life for Jesus. And so, Paul's past, present, and future came together through Jesus' grace, and Paul became the great disciple as we read in the Bible. It wasn't only promising young leaders like Paul to whom Jesus accommodated himself to and lifted up as new beings. The Nicanor Gate stood at the east side of the court of Israel. It was considered the most beautiful among all the temple gates, and so people called it the Beautiful Gate. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man born lame who begged for alms every day at this gate. Acts 4:22 tells us that this man was more than 40 years old. The average life expectancy 2,000 years ago was less than 50 years, so this man was well into his years. Since he was a beggar, he was probably an old man who was not expecting to live much longer. This was an old man who was born lame and who had to beg every day of his life. His life was the poorest and loneliest among humans. Imagine what a contrasting sight this man, this lame beggar, would have made as he begged in front of the Nicanor Gate, which was so beautiful, it is called the Beautiful Gate. In this passage, Peter was going up to the temple with John at the hour of prayer. As they approached the Beautiful Gate, Peter looked at the beggar who was asking them for alms. Peter tells the beggar to look at him. Peter and the beggar looks expectantly at Peter. Peter is probably standing looking down at the beggar, and the beggar is sitting on the floor and he looks up at Peter. Their eyes meet. Peter looks into the beggar's eyes and this is what he says. "Brother, I do not have the gold or silver that you ask, but I give you something of greater value. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Then Peter takes the beggar's right hand and pulls him to his feet. To the unknowing outsider, it would just look like Peter was helping the beggar to his feet. But the truth is, this man has never walked before in his entire life. He was a poor and lowly beggar born lame, and Jesus came to him first through Peter. And Jesus accommodated himself to the beggar's situation and held out his hand, which is not shortened, to the beggar to lift him up. In that moment, the beggar's feet and ankles found strength, and he leaps up. For the first time in his life, the old man is able to stand up on his own. He walks and he runs, and he enters the beautiful gate for the first time in his life to give praise to God in the temple. This man had been born lame, and he had been begging in front of the beautiful gate for over 40 years. These 40 years must have been filled with despair and helplessness and self-abandonment. He was a nobody in people's eyes. But Jesus came and accommodated himself to the beggar. He lifted him up and made him walk and run. In short, Jesus freed him from the despair and self-abandonment that had been oppressing him all these years. The man was now able to enjoy a new present and future through Jesus, in Jesus. And in that new present and future, his past 40 years as a beggar born lame also came to take on a new meaning. Because he had lived over 40 years as a lame person, this man was more willing than anyone to walk with Jesus with all his heart. This very Jesus is with us right now on this Christmas Sunday and last Sunday of the year. He has humbled himself to each of our individual level and situation, and he is holding out his hand, which is not shortened, to hold us and to lift us up. Let us all hold on to his hand and rise from the shackles of sin and death. Let us rise from the oppression of short-sightedness and selfish desires. Let us all hold on to Jesus' hand, which is not shortened, and enter the beautiful gate of a new present and a brand new future. Within a new present and future enjoyed in Jesus' presence, even our past, which we let drift away meaninglessly, will take on a new meaning. Our lives accompanied by Jesus can never be ephemeral or meaningless. In Jesus, the past, present, and future come together and take on a new meaning every day, and our lives become a fabric woven of new days and new years. And all of this became possible because of Jesus' birth. How could we not help but give praise for Christmas with all our hearts? Merry Christmas. Let us pray. On this joyous Christmas day, you humbled yourself for us and came to us, Jesus. Even now you are holding out your hand, which is not shortened, to hold on to us and to lift us up. On this last Sunday of the year, help us to rely on your hand to rise from the shackles of sin and death. Help us rise from our short-sightedness and selfish desires. Help us to rise from the depths of hopelessness, despair, and self-abandonment. Help us to hold on to your hand fast and walk through the beautiful gate of a new present and future. And may our meaningless past take on a new meaning in the new present and future. May this be a truly new year rather than a part of an ephemeral and meaningless life as we live every day as witnesses for Christ. Peter and John were going up to pray. The lame man at the gate of the temple asked for alms. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He walked, leapt, and praised God. He walked, leapt, and praised God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He walked, leapt, and praised God. He walked, leapt, and praised God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.